Well, good morning to you all. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to begin studying there in just 1 minute. If you are unfamiliar with our church family, this is the portion of our service each and every Sunday when we open up the Word of God and consider what it has to say for us. And I pray that as a result of our study, you'll know the Word of God better and you'll understand how to please Him and what His will is for your life even more than before you came. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says this: "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough." Now, everything in that context is important and worth mentioning, but the portion that I want to focus on this morning is that little phrase that Paul references there in verse 9, Galatians 5 and verse 9, when he says, "A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough." You know, one of the metaphors favored by the Holy Spirit throughout the Bible is the metaphor of leaven and its effect on a lump of dough. So for those of you who are not bakers like me, then you need to know that leaven is that special ingredient that you put into a lump of dough when it's all wet and gross that causes the bread to rise and expand. Without leaven, bread is basically just a cracker. So I wanted to do this morning. I was really worried someone would have taken this. So I brought something with me. This is a lump of dough, and this is a matzah cracker, right? And so this is the difference that leaven makes in your life. This is the difference that leaven makes for bread. You have a lump of dough. There you go. That's leavened. And this is what that looks like when it has no leaven. And so that's how the Holy Spirit used that metaphor, that this leaven, this ingredient, makes a huge difference. And the other amazing thing about that is, not only does leaven make a big difference, but it only takes just a huge difference. And so, roughly, I did not measure this out, the difference between this and this is just about this. I thought about dumping it on here, but then somebody who's a clean freak would get totally messed up about that. But think about that. That's the metaphor the Spirit likes to use, that the difference between this and this is just a little bit of leaven. All it takes is just a little bit of leaven to leaven the whole lump of dough. And so the Spirit uses that metaphor because He wants us to understand that sometimes small things have a much bigger impact than you would think they would have. Just like leaven has a much bigger impact than you would think, there are other things that have a big impact as well. Something seemingly small can have an enormous effect. And the Spirit uses that. He uses that metaphor because He understands that sometimes as Christians, sometimes as people, we overlook small things because we think small things aren't going to have a big impact. And He wants to make sure we understand, hey, this thing might be small. You might think it's little, but even though it is little, if it gets into your life, it gets into your soul, it could have huge results. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. And so, brothers and sisters, our lesson this morning is rather straightforward. What I want to do is I want to show you in the Bible that there are some things that the Holy Spirit wants to make sure that we don't overlook. That as people who are Christians, people who are striving to serve God, people who are on this spiritual journey, there are some small things that if we let them into our life, they have a much bigger impact than we might think they would. And so this morning, I want to give you four things four things, four leaven that you need to make sure you do not overlook in your walk with God. So first of all, I want you to appreciate that you need to make sure in your walk with God, you do not overlook the impact of just a little bit of false teaching. Do not overlook the impact of just a little bit of false teaching. We began with that passage in Galatians chapter 5, and that's a good place to be. Galatians chapter 5 in verse 9, he says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. And if you remember, as we were reading, he was talking to these Christians in Galatia who were tempted to go back to the old law of Moses, who had been tempted throughout the entire book. This is what he's talking about. They were tempted to, as Christians, adopt the law of Moses and to try to make other people follow the law of Moses as well, primarily the act of circumcision. They were trying to make Gentile Christians become circumcised, and they were telling them that you couldn't be a Christian, you couldn't be saved unless you followed the law of Moses. So he says this in verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. In other words, this idea that you should follow the law of Moses, this idea that you have to compel people to be circumcised, that didn't come from God. That came from someone else. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough, he finishes in verse 9. And so these people in Galatia, they had started to fall victim to these false teachers, this false teaching that said you had to become a Jew, you had to follow the law of Moses in order to be saved. And that's the way the Bible uses that metaphor of leaven, that it's the false teaching that might get into your heart, that might get into your mind, that if you latch on to that false idea, it can have big effects, disastrous effects. We don't have to turn there this morning, but you might want to make note of it. We see this as well. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 16, Matthew 16 verses 11 through 12, where he tells his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then he goes on in verse 12 to make the point. He's not talking about leaven of bread. He's not saying, hey, don't eat their bread. He's saying, be careful about their teaching. Be careful that you don't listen to their teaching. Don't be sucked into that. Don't adopt their ideas, because it was their ideas, the idea that they were always seeking for another sign, this idea that they were stubborn and hard-hearted, and they would not accept what Jesus said about himself, no matter how many miracles he performed. It was that belief, that teaching, that had seeped into their hearts and was wrecking them spiritually. He would say in another place, that when it came to the Pharisees, everything that they say is good. Follow and do everything that they say. Because in many ways, they taught very important things. But when it came to the way they responded to Jesus' miracles, they needed to be careful of that false teaching, be careful of that leaven. We see that again, another example of that's in Luke 12. Luke 12 and verse 11, where he says that the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. And so he says, don't adopt that attitude in your life. Don't become that kind of person where you adopt this idea, where you begin to believe this idea that what really matters is how you look on the outside and you neglect what's going on the inside. It's a very big temptation for anybody who's religious or goes to church on Sunday. And so most commonly in the New Testament, when the Bible talks about leaven, it's talking about the influence that false teaching can have on followers of God. And I think it's important to point out that we're not just talking about false teaching. We're talking about just a little bit, right? We're talking about just a little bit of false teaching. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You know, the devil doesn't need you to reject Jesus entirely. He doesn't need you to throw away your Bible or burn it in a dumpster. He doesn't need you to reject the idea of Christianity. He doesn't need to get you to become an atheist. What the devil needs to do with you is get you to believe one really destructive idea. Because just a little leaven can leaven the whole lump. When it comes to the Galatians, They hadn't abandoned Jesus. They hadn't gone all the way back. They didn't start disbelieving Jesus. They still believed in Jesus, but all he had to do was get them to believe that one little idea that you need to follow the law of Moses as well as following Jesus. And that's all he had to do to lead to those disastrous results. Same is true for the Pharisees and Sadducees. He didn't need to get them to throw away all the good moral things that they did. He didn't need them to throw away their idea that they should be committed to righteousness. All he had to do was seed that one thought in their mind that I just need another sign. I just need another sign. I just need another sign. And that's all he had to do. And that little bit of leaven, that one bad idea, it wrecked them. Understand, brothers and sisters, what the Bible says. That it doesn't take a whole batch of false teaching to lead you away from God. Sometimes all it takes is just a little bit of leaven. We need to understand that. And we need to heed that warning. That sometimes all it takes is just one bad idea. And we can be wrecked spiritually. We need to know that especially because we live in a time when two things are happening. We live in a time when Bible reading and Bible knowledge are on steep decline. And at the same time, the ability of false teachers to get their message out there is enhanced considerably and exponentially. And so we live in this world where we're not reading our Bible the way we should. We're not opening up the Word of God and considering what it says to us. We are not well-versed in it as much as we used to be. And we have all these false teachers who are pounding on our door every single day, trying to get their message across, trying to get that little bit of leaven in us. Brothers and sisters, we must be careful. We must be careful about the ideas we let into our life. We must be careful about the things that we begin to believe. I want to ask you this morning, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention to the people that you listen to? Are you paying attention to the actual Word of God and not just what some guy says? Are you actually paying attention and carefully examining and making sure that the things you believe and the ideas that you latch onto and hold onto are grounded in the Word of God? We need to be careful about that because just a little bit of leaven, just a little bit of leaven can leaven the whole lump. Consider this with me secondly, though. Do not overlook the impact of just a little bit of false teaching, but at the same time, do not overlook the influence of just a little bit of sin in a church. Go with me just a few pages back in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Here we have a pretty famous passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 6. And here the idea of leaven is not used to speak of false teachers and their teaching. Here the idea of leaven is used to talk about how there is this one guy who's sinning in this church and the impact that his sin might have on the entire congregation. It says this, 1 Corinthians 5 verse 1, it is actually reported that there is immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I, on my part, though absent in body but present in spirit, have judged him who has committed this, as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? And so in this passage, Paul helps us see that somebody in this church is guilty of extraordinary sexual immorality. But the thing that might be even more shocking than the sin itself is the way the church responds to it. They don't do anything about it. They just ignore it completely. Now, there's a part of me that can kind of understand why a church would respond that way. Ultimately, that's not a loving thing to do. To be indifferent to the sin of my brother is to be indifferent to the state of his soul and where he might spend eternity. It's not a loving thing to do, but it is a tempting thing to do, isn't it? To just look at somebody in sin and say, that's their business, not mine. But Paul makes the point that that's not true. At the end of the day, this is our business. At the end of the day, because a little bit of leaven can leaven a whole lump of dough, then any sin in a church that is ignored, that is tolerated, that is accepted, it can have a tremendously bad effect. Paul makes the point in verse 6. He says, your boasting is not good. And what is their boasting? Their boasting is the idea that we can come together as a church and we can worship together and we can have fellowship together, and that guy over there can be committing this awful sin and can be completely unrepentant about it, and it won't have any effect on us. It won't bother us. It's not going to change me. It's not going to affect me. That's his sin, not my sin. But Paul says that's boasting. Because the truth is that even a little bit of leaven can leaven the whole lump. Even a little bit of sin in a church, when it is tolerated and overlooked and ignored, it can have a leavening influence on us all. Look at what Paul says a little bit further in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 13. Down at the bottom, he says, but those who are outside, God judges, remove the wicked man from among yourselves. You need to know that the second phrase in there, remove the wicked man from among yourselves, that is a quote from the Old Testament. It's actually a quote from several passages in the Old Testament in the Law of Moses, where in the Law of Moses, it tells the people of God to either exile or execute somebody so that they can remove the wicked influence from the congregation of Israel. They're told to do this so that they might purge the evil from their midst. It can be very tempting to look at somebody else's sin and not want to do anything about it, not say anything about it, and say, hey, that has nothing to do with me, but it does. Because when that little leaven is allowed to sit around and no one does anything about it, it leavens the whole lump. It changes the way that this entire congregation can look at sin. And maybe we begin to start thinking to ourselves, hey, well, maybe this sin isn't really that bad. Or maybe a little bit of sin is just unavoidable and there's nothing we can do about it. Or maybe we start looking at that and we say, well, maybe change is unrealistic. Maybe we really can't overcome sin anymore. This sin that we tolerate among us, it leavens us. It changes us. And so we need to make sure that we never turn a blind eye towards sin. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean that we grow hateful or we hit people who are sinning or do anything like that. But what it means is when I see my brother or my sister in sin, I do something about it with gentleness, in love. But I do something about it because it's going to have an effect on them for sure, but it's also going to have an effect on me. And it might just have an effect on this entire congregation if it's allowed to persist, because just a little bit of leaven, just a little bit of leaven, leavens the whole lump. Consider this with me, thirdly. Do not overlook the influence of a little sin in a church, but also do not overlook the power of a little concession to Satan in your own life. Do not overlook the power of a little concession to Satan in your own life. Now go back just a little bit more in your Bible to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. I want you to consider what Paul writes there. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And here in this passage, one thing that Paul is helping us do is he's helping us understand how, as a Christian, I ought to look at sin and how I ought to look at the sin in my own life and what I ought to do with the sin in my own life. He says this in verse 11, do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. In this passage, Paul says there at the end, to make no provision for the flesh and its lusts. That idea of making a provision for something, it means that you are providing for something. The actual Greek word there means to take thought to something. And so when I, you know, go to my dog's food and water bowl and I fill the bowl up with food and I fill the water bowl up with water, what am I doing? I'm giving thought to it, right? I'm thinking about my dog, I'm caring about my dog, and so I'm providing for my dog. If you have a stray cat running around your house and you put out a little milk for it, what are you doing? You're taking thought to it, right? You're thinking about the needs of that cat and you're providing for the needs. You're making provision for it. You're thinking about it. And so Paul says, make no provision. Make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts. And the idea there is, don't feed sin. Don't care for sin. Don't let sin get a foot in your door. Don't even set milk out for sin like it's some kind of stray cat that comes around your house every once in a while. Make no provision. Take no thought. Don't give sin even an inch in your life. And really what he's saying there is when it comes to Satan, you don't make any concessions to him. You don't concede any ground. You don't let him in. As a football player would say, we defend every blade of grass. That's what we ought to do when it comes to sin. How well do you do when it comes to something like that? Isn't that exactly what we often do? We provide for sin just a little bit. We leave the door open just a crack. We set just a little bit of milk out for it to keep it fed. We do enough sin just to satisfy some physical cravings, but we don't do enough sin so that we'll get found out. And we definitely don't do enough sin so that if we do get found out, it'll be a big scandal. We just do a little bit. And we allow ourselves in our lives one or two small concessions to Satan. He can't have all of this stuff over here, but maybe I'll give him a little bit, just a little bit. Over on this side. And as we do that, we tell ourselves several things to make ourselves feel better. We tell ourselves that it's just a small thing, right? It's not one of those big sins, not one of those egregious things that everybody's going to be horrified by if they find out. We tell ourselves something like, you know, I'll take care of it one day. I know that I need to handle this, but I'm busy right now, and I'll get serious about that eventually. Sometimes we tell ourselves this, hey, there's freedom in Christ, right? So obviously I know that I'm going to do lots of stuff good, but I'm going to do these small things bad. And at the end of the day, there's freedom in Christ. So his grace and mercy, I'm sure his grace and mercy will cover these sins. They're just one or two small concessions. Not really that big of a deal. And sometimes what we do is we overlook the power of one little concession. We overlook the power of what Satan can do when we let him get his foot in the door. I want you to consider what's written in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. In this passage, Peter helps us see what happens when we do leave the door open for Satan, when we do make one small concession to him in our lives. In 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 19, the Bible says this, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. Do you know what happens when you make a little bit of a provision for Satan? When you leave a little bit of a provision for Satan, he feeds on that tiny portion you leave out for him. He uses the crack in the door that you've left open for him. And he uses that to build strongholds in our lives. He uses that to overwhelm us and overpower us and enslave us to our sins and our appetites. At some point, when we make those concessions to him, we cease to be a foolish Christian who is abusing the mercy and the grace of God, and we become a slave who is totally overwhelmed by the little sin that we allowed to stick around in our lives. Brothers and sisters, just a little bit of leaven, just a little bit of leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. Do not overlook the power of just one small concession to Satan, because he will use it to build strongholds in your heart. Consider this with me finally, though. One more thing you need to make sure you don't overlook. Do not overlook the power of a little bit of the kingdom in you. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 13. This is the passage that we read at the beginning of our service today. Matthew chapter 13. It is often true that when the New Testament talks about leaven, it's using it in a bad sense, right? It's like a cancerous thing that grows and expands and infects everything and destroys. And oftentimes that's what leaven is talking about. It's talking about sin, it's talking about false teaching, it's talking about all these things that we allow into our lives. But here in Matthew chapter 13, we see that it's not always negative, that sometimes this can work the other way in a very positive way. Matthew chapter 13, begin reading with me in verse 31. It says this: He presented another parable to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is fully grown, it is larger than the garden plants. It becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. He spoke another parable to them: The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it all was leavened. And so sometimes false teaching is like leaven, and sometimes sin is like leaven. But you know what else works like leaven? The kingdom of Christ. And so one more time as we close, I will say to you, do not underestimate, do not overlook the power of just a little leaven. The kingdom of Christ is the realm of his rule. It is where Christ has dominion, where he is sovereign, where he is in charge. And other passages in our Bible make it very clear that Christ is not interested in being king over this physical earth, at least not right now at this moment. But right now, what Christ is much more interested in is being king in you, to be the ruler in your heart. And he's allowed all of us to decide how much we're willing to let him rule. This parable helps us see what can happen when you decide to let him rule. It helps us see what happens if you decide to let him in. If you decide to let our sovereign king really start ruling your heart. What happens if you open up your life to him? If you decide in your heart, I'm no longer going to live for myself. I'm no longer going to just do whatever I want to do. I'm no longer going to live my life just trying to satisfy my own appetites. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to let God in. I'm going to let him come and mess with my life and move some stuff around and make whatever adjustments he needs to make. What happens when you let him in? And the answer is, it leavens us. The realm of his kingdom expands and grows. And the more we let him in, the more he overwhelms us, the more he takes over, the more we become submitted to him, the more we become his servants, his true, real servants. And so this morning, brothers and sisters, I encourage you to let the kingdom in. Whatever you're holding back from God, whatever piece of yourself that you're not letting him rule, that is not subject to him, let him in. Let the kingdom in so that it can leaven you and change you. And sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes all it takes for the kingdom to really get rolling inside your heart is for you to just let a little bit in. Just make one small choice that ultimately opens up the door for the kingdom and changes everything about who you are. Maybe this morning that means that you need to finally let go of some sin that you've allowed to hang around in your life. You need to do something about it. You need to submit that to him and let him take that from you. Or maybe that means you're sitting here this morning and you're not a Christian and you've always lived for yourself, but what you need to do today is make one small choice. You need to choose to come to him and let him be king and let him rule in you. And if you do, that choice will act like leaven. It'll grow and expand, it'll take you over, and it will be so beautiful how you become a servant of God. If you need to make that one small choice to give your life to Jesus, the Bible tells us how to do that. It says that if we believe that he is the Son of God, if we're willing to repent of our sins and change our ways, if we're willing to confess his name before men, then we can be baptized in water to have our sins washed away, and we can rise to walk in newness of life as subjects of his kingdom. If we can help you do that, or if we can help you with anything else, we invite you to come to the front while we stand.